Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you serious?
It's been a while, man. It's been a while. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time with us in advance. My name's Marcus Bronzy.
And me, I'm Funk Butcher.
Hey, good to have you back, Funk.
We're back.
Good to have you back in the building. Before we crack on with today's show, don't forget you can head over to howtokillanhour.com and check out everything we've been killing time with recently. We got blog posts. We got videos. We've got more blog posts, more videos, previous episodes of the podcast. We've also got merchandise. So if you want to get yourself some How to Kill an Hour garmness, t-shirtness, hoodies, socks even, or a mug. The mugs look cool. All stickers. Head over to howtokillanhour.com. Glad to have you back on the show, Funk.
Yes, glad to be back.
How you doing? You've been a busy boy, though, haven't you?
I'm always busy.
Well, you've been at the BBC.
Yep.
Putting that one fist up. The one leather gloved fist up for the whole month that they give you for Black History Month. Isn't that a privilege?
Yeah.
Your whole month.
Fitting all that content, boy.
Yeah, you got to squeeze it in.
400 years.
And technically.
Squeeze it into a month.
And technically, it's not a whole month because we all know the 31st is Halloween. So that takes a day off.
That's why they did that, man. Oh. They got us again. The man got us again. Yeah.
So, yeah, you've been busy, man. Talk to us about that, though.
Cool. What have I been up to? What haven't I been up to? So, I did a bit of radio, was on the BBC for One Extra Talks, and that was hosted by a young Don called Reese Parkinson, who I'm very familiar with, as are yourself.
Yeah, man.
Because Reese is actually one of my ex-radio students. And I'm not going to do that cliche, I always knew he'd be great kind of thing. But no, he did show a lot of promise in the classroom setting. And it is no surprise that he has reached the heights he has.
I think I said that to you after you asked me to come talk to one of the classes. I remember saying, no, that group, not even just him. I said, like, because, you know, he's sick, but that group of students that year, they had some zest.
Yeah. In there. Yeah.
All destined for big things. And quite a few of them have come out of the Funk Butcher alumni, haven't they?
So I'll be around with my heavies to collect my takings as they.
You got to take that 15%, baby.
You'll be breaking some legs.
That's it. Also, like, let's not forget your producer. You've been churning out tunes as well, man.
Yeah, so House of the G, It Never Stops, like Bad Boy. take that. So we've got a next release coming out, Jazzphonics. And Jazzphonics is another production alias. I keep rolling these out. I get bored. Just like some women like to change. Some women like to change their hairdo every now and again, fling on a new weave, to dye it. I just like to change my name kind of thing. And it's a bit expensive to do it by Deedpoll, so I change my musical aliases. So
fair enough.
Jazzphonics is just a rejig, reinterpretation of the kind of vibe that I'm feeling house-wise, injected with more jazz.
So it's the Funk Butcher house sound with more jazz. You know, I've got a clip of this, actually. I'm actually playing this off my WhatsApp, so if the groups start popping off and you're hearing bloop, bloop, halfway through this, sorry. Hey. I'm feeling the jazz.
Yeah. So it's important to mention the jazz influences there is from a guy called Johnny Woodham. So Jazzphonics is me and Johnny when we come together.
Wait, so this is Johnny playing live?
This is live trumpet.
Hold it now. I can't even how do you make a trumpet sound good though, Funk? I'm not gonna lie, because I think it's one of those instruments that either sound phenomenal or you sound pants.
I think that's the world of jazz in itself. There's a lot of great jazz musicians, like up and coming and established, and they have an ability to play outside of the pocket and find those spaces, find those little groove moments. And I met Johnny on a booking on New Year's Eve mm-hmm. for House Gospel Choir.
Yep.
Shout out to the House Gospel Choir. We went up to, I believe it was Newcastle, and we did a gig there. And Candy Stanton was performing there also, like renowned vocalist, Grammy nominated vocalist. And Johnny was hired in to be one of the session players for the House Gospel Choir. So normally the House Gospel Choir setup is they've got a live DJ, that was myself, and he plays the backing track and they sing their renditions to it. And they have live instrumentalists, with a keyboard player, horn player and so forth. And Johnny was a horn player in that gig. And there's always like a warm-up section to it. And I was kind of playing some house records and he was kind of improvising with his trumpet over the top of it. And I was just like, this guy's sick. He was literally just playing off the fly. And the way he was catching the groove, I was thinking to myself, okay, like, you know me, I'm not a procrastinator. I was like, okay, let's do some work. So it took a while to pin down Johnny because Johnny is a very, very busy guy. He's touring, session player, supporting this one, that one. So when I managed to catch him, during one of his breaks, he was kind enough to kind of link up with me. We got some press shots done and I sent him over a couple bits and pieces, and I just literally said to him, just be you. Just wherever you feel like you want to kind of put more sauce in it, just go with the flow. Mm. So I didn't want anything too structured. I didn't want it to kind of restrict and restrain his creativity. And that's how you get tracks like that. So that track is called Two Left Feet, and it is going to be the next single on Houseology.
Sick.
Yeah, and it is a warning for the people who do have two left feet out there that this track is not for you.
When are you gonna make me a hit, Funk Man? Huh? When are you gonna make me a hit, bruv? Out here producing beats, so I'll be, make me a hit, Funk.
Yeah, it's coming.
You know, a hit factory out here, bro.
Who, me? Nah, not too much.
I'm trolling Funk because of a tweet the other day. I can't remember. What was the general gist of your tweet the other day?
I can't remember. What was it?
Is it basically you were saying, yes, I like to make music?
Yeah, I think, do you know what it is? That was in...
sorry, I had to troll you when I saw that tweet.
So basically, it's in relation to a post I saw from Swiss Beats. And Swiss Beats has got this... new album coming out, and
yeah,
this I think Joe Cole was actually executive producer, which is actually, yeah, quite surprising. So he's got his new album out, I think from the UK. He's put Gigs on there, he's got Wayne on there, Pusha T, Lox. It's really, really, really kind of a celebration of lyricists with a real great producer. But what Swizz has alluded to is the fact that there's a difference between a beat maker, yeah, versus a producer.
Yeah.
Some might think that they're very much the same, but a beat maker, and this isn't any a shot at or a dig at anyone who considers themselves a beat maker, but they are more productive on that side of things, where they just constantly, they're like a conveyor belt.
Right, okay.
They roll out instrumentals to service various artists. So
right,
they may not specifically have an idea, a creative idea in their realm. So they are, they kind of flexible enough to suit different genres and different worlds. Whereas a producer, he's actually trying to create an audio picture, an audio movie. And he's very specific about the talent or the artist or the sound or the composition or the general energy of the track that he's trying to create. So that's the beat maker versus producer. It's not a kind of a snobbish perspective. Is literally a case of, I know a lot of friends who are beat makers and they're sick. They're very sick. They're very talented. Technically, the way they're able to compose music, and they've just got a high productivity, and that's what's kind of, that defines them as able to kind of keep on the more commercial edge of their job, of their job requirements. Whereas the producers, they tend to be a lot slower in their output because their stuff is a lot more deliberate, where they're trying to create certain pictures and certain messaging within their art form. So, yeah. So that was kind of the backdrop of that tweet. I had to kind of elaborate on it.
So is this
putting a few noses out of joint.
So is this a speech that means that I'm going to have to pay more for the hit that you're going to make me?
You got to pay more.
All right, then. I guess that makes sense. So what are you trying to, well, are you trying to say, like, it's the difference between when I make a sandwich to eat quickly,
yeah,
I'm just making it to eat. But if somebody's making a culinary masterpiece,
yeah, you,
so you're Heston on the beat, yeah?
Yeah, yeah,
and I'm like school dinner lady on the beat.
Yeah. I mean, that's why they got the Michelin star rating. There's food and then there's food.
Oh, so you're Michelin star. Okay. Ow! Okay. All right, Frank's a Michelin star yeah, producer.
I dropped myself in it because I said I wasn't firing shots and then I went and then I let off the cannon. No, okay. Let me start again, yeah? No. Like, there's been... No, okay. There's literally Michelin star and right, then there's Michelin star. Do you know what it is? It's, it depends on your palate.
Oh, okay.
Clearly, because you can take someone to a very, very... upper crust, high end eatery, and they may not like the stuff being served, and their palate is really McDonald's.
I really didn't know music had this snobbery in it, man.
Do you know what it does? I think everything does that. But personally, I just feel like there's a very clear distinction between
McDonald's.
McDonald's people who don't mind tartar sauce, mm-hmm, which is what's tartar sauce supposed to go on?
Yeah, okay, well, not your McDonald's.
Exactly,
okay, cool, yeah,
but they don't care because they will put it on anything. So,
okay,
yeah,
right,
you see where we're going with this? So there's some things like, typically, a bacon sarnie, yeah, is supposed to go with the HP brand sauce.
Okay.
Yeah, but some people are trying to put, I don't know, mayonnaise on it. And I guess if they were to put mayonnaise on your bacon sarnie, then that's you. That's your palate.
Speaking of fast food, actually, yeah, we've got something that we'll hop into, but okay, I'll let you know what I've been getting up to recently before we actually start talking about the tech in the show.
Yeah.
I've been accepted, shortlisted into this thing called LaunchPod. So basically, Wise Buddha, big radio production company in the UK. They like produce for Radio 1, Capital, I don't know, loads of people. They want to create...
Billy's in the room. He just dropped that, Billy. So calm. Well, yeah. I've just been accepted.
Well,
brother, celebrate yourself, brother.
I'm very, very happy. I'm very, very happy. Okay. Honestly, very, very happy.
Now, what is LaunchPod?
So yeah, LaunchPod is basically this idea that's come from Acast, who are a podcast provider, and Wise Buddha, who are a big production company.
Yep, heard of them.
And they want to create some original content. So I wrote a little pilot. An audio documentary. Mm-hmm. I think I'm one of the first in the UK to make one like in this specific style.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And obviously it's tech based.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a guy who has been on the show, actually, Joshua Browder, the guy behind DoNotPay.co.uk.
Yes.
So we kind of delve into his story about how he's using technology to not just help people get off parking tickets, but to change lives.
Yeah.
He's out here making me feel like I've not done anything in my life.
Yeah.
So I celebrated him in a pilot, sent it to them. And yeah, it's in the commission process. So they're going to make an actual fully length show out of it. And that's the big win, because I think that show by itself would be great.
Yeah.
And then potentially it could become a series. So I'll be leaning on you, the listener of How to Kill an Hour, to give it some support at the right time. But I can't wait for it, man. Wait for it, honestly, because this idea, we met just right at the start of How to Kill an Hour.
Yeah.
And it was like a bit of a, no disrespect to Josh, it was a bit of like a, oh, this is just cool, let's keep it moving. And mm-hmm. Josh was like, I think at the end of our conversation, when he made this website where he's going to like help people get off tickets, still does it. It's sick.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, I might help out human rights. And I did say to him, we should pull
a clip.
I remember
the show, yeah.
Yeah, that was it. And I was like, Josh, you're going to change the world. He's like, nah, you know. Yeah. I'm like, nah, he's going to do big things. So I'm happy about that, man. I'll let you know how that unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
And also the other entrants are really, we've got some really good content as well. So I know people sometimes say this, but I'm like, whoever goes to get like the full series commission, there's some great stuff in there. So mm-hmm. I'm really hoping like whoever wins or whoever doesn't win, I want to bring them over to the show and have a chat with them, man. Practicing that Oscar face.
Okay.
Right. So basically that's Funk and I telling you what we've been up to recently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But this is a show where we like to lean into the world of tech. Yeah. And what I like about How to Kill an Hour, Funk, I keep explaining to people, is we are not tech gurus.
No.
We're not gadget gurus.
No.
We're not the guys that know everything about megapixels.
I still don't know how to use the microwave.
What is it about microwaves? Have you ever tried to use someone else's microwave?
Yeah.
It is like, And then, but when you know your microwave,
yeah,
you know how it works.
Yeah.
But no other microwave is the same.
There's a lot of useless buttons in there.
Fuck loads. You know, that's why on the microwave here we have at the office, it's got turn it onto one or two. It's got the old school turn that goes bing when it goes off. Because I was like, I'm sick of learning all the buttons.
That's certain like numbers on there. Who is really putting...
Roast turkey.
Yeah.
Why do you need a roast turkey?
Defrost in the microwave. Who's really putting like something in the microwave for an hour?
No, exactly. Yes. What? When? When do you need longer than, I don't know, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
I've never even, no, I think I'm like a 1 minute, 2 minute guy. Yeah, yeah. And if it needs 4 minutes, it goes in for 2 minutes, comes out, then 2 minutes again.
In fact, that is not a microwave meal. If you need to put it in the microwave, yeah, for an hour, I've never seen anything in the microwave section that says, put this in the microwave for an hour. That's oven.
What?
That's an oven.
When, I'd like to put this out to listener. What's the longest you've ever microwaved something for? I think mine's like 5 minutes. Yeah. And that might be because I pressed 5 minutes once instead of pressing one minute.
Yeah. I've had to do it like 5 minutes because it wasn't hot enough. So I've had to reheat.
Reheat.
Or, yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
So that's actually 2.5 minutes twice.
So we don't need, so the maximum number of minutes we need on a microwave should be what then?
Like two and a half minutes?
Two and a half minutes.
It's microwave food. Anything longer than that, that's oven food.
Okay. It's bringing that snobbery back, Funk. That's what it is. This is the difference between Michelin star food and microwave food. But anyway, yeah, speaking of food, let's jump into the tech world. The king of burgers has been throwing some shade.
Me.
Shade out there.
I'm the king of burgers.
You're the king of burgers. I'm right, the king fair of enough. So yeah, man. I just want to say that in 2018, there's a lot of outrage, right? There's a lot coming from the right. There's a lot coming from the left, right? Yeah. There's outrage, there's anger.
Yeah.
And social media is a big platform for people
tweets
to speak their
to
mind.
The right to me. Tweets to the left. Yeah, I'm stuck here.
But if there's one thing that I do love from this social media world, it's just the comedic value.
Oh, yeah.
The timing.
Yeah.
When a tweet bangs, it does its job. And I'm liking the fact that brands are getting involved in this as well. So Kanye West tweeted the other day, McDonald's is my favorite restaurant.
Why did he tweet that? What's the context of that?
I don't know.
Last week it was Trump. How do you get from Trump to McDonald's?
When you quit politics, you can just switch like that. So basically, this is explaining where you are at life right now. Okay. When you leave politics, you don't want to mess around with that. You just want to go back to basics. And going back to basics is your favorite.
So let's do the hypothetical timeline. Mm-hmm. So he met Trump, he wore the MAGA hat, and then he gets to a stage where he feels politics isn't for him, right? Then he goes to McDonald's and gets a cheeseburger.
Yes.
Okay.
It's the American way. When Iron Man, in the first Iron Man movie, gets back to America, what does he say? Give me a cheeseburger. That's what he says.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he says. It's the American way.
Yeah.
So anyway, Ye said, McDonald's is my new favorite restaurant, and Burger King tweeted, it explains a lot.
Oh,
now that tweet has got 641,000 likes.
This is the closest thing you're going to get to real beef.
Oh! But man, and then they also tweeted, if we knew this was going to blow up this big, we'd have made a SoundCloud.
Oh, man.
So you know what? I just wanted to, the reason I'm putting this T-Funk is just like, is social media now the place where brands can really be edgy and fun? I feel like there's nowhere else.
Yeah.
Like in an advert, you could get done for slander and stuff like this.
Yeah.
Is this where we're gonna be finding comedy? Twitter, more specifically, is this the last place where you're gonna find raw edge comedy?
This is even comedy. This is Jedi level marketing.
Yeah.
This is where that middle ground is won, where you can establish a personality, a likable personality to a brand, which is probably
has no voice,
which is really under it, probably prior to that has got really negative connotations attached to it. Like, you're probably getting vegans now going, hey, do you know what, I might go and get a burger because those guys are funny. Like, forget the cows, I'm gonna have a Whopper today. Kind of thing. Like, they literally getting to that point where they're able to do that because comedy is such a universal language. Like when we had Dane
Baptiste.
Like, he,
I feel like that's a tweet he'd write.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what you're finding now is a lot of time, I'm an Arsenal fan and they've just employed, I think recently, it feels like recently, they've employed someone in their social media marketing team. This guy is, whoever it is, guy, girl, sorry, he is A1. They are A1. The team, whoever they've got, is brilliant. The memes, the pictures after a game, you really feel enthusiastic about your team because they're able to channel that through their social media. Now, I think this is something that's going to be taken on a lot more seriously. Social media used to be a thing of, okay, well, we just hire John or Jane on their gap year. They could just send out some tweets for us and let the customers know where the next restaurant is. But if you have a company notorious for getting it wrong, Ryanair, they might think strongly about hiring someone like this to change the perceptions on how they are as a brand.
Yeah, to bring them into the frigging 21st century.
Yeah.
And also, to go back to the food side of things, because I saw this on a lot of people making noise about this on social media, Burger King are doing 10 chicken nuggets for $1. Bruv, this is like beef. That's it. 10 nuggets for $1.
I'm not impressed by that. Maybe because I'm greedy. That's not enough.
$10 for under a pound. 10 nuggets for under a pound.
That's not enough.
10 nuggets.
That's not enough.
Not even the hoodest of chicken shops is giving me 10 nuggets.
And it's for American pound. For Americans as well. That's not enough.
Is that not enough? Would you need? What are you? Would you they prefer could, it 50 for $5?
Americans are quite. Sorry to my American listeners. They're quite on the larger side of the earthlings.
I think statistically there are numbers that will back that up, Funk. So yeah. I'm going to ride with you on this.
So let's
go down a rabbit hole, bruv.
As our larger earthling brethren,
yeah.
I think 10 nuggets can be inhaled.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Anyway, moving on. Right, so before we talk about a computer game, you'll probably be able to guess what computer game I'm going to talk about. I'm going to hold this up to the camera. You may be able to see this if you are looking at the visuals for this. Shout out to Seagate, who gave us a game drive for the PS4, which turned the regular sized hard drive on the PS4 that we have into a 4 terabyte monster.
Excuse me? Baking powder?
4 terabyte. Basically, there isn't much more to say about this drive then it works. You plug it into your PS. It says, this is a special drive. Would you like to format it for your games? You say, yes. And then if you have a game that is already on your PS, you can move it onto this drive and play from it. So you've extended your hard drive. And this may be suitable for you if you have a game that's 100 gigabytes or plus.
Okay.
Are there any games that's come out recently that's about 100 gigabytes, Funk? Should we talk about that? Huh? Any big old games out there?
Listen, yeah. That game.
What game, Funk?
Red Dead Redemption.
Okay. Yeah. He's dropped it on us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That game. Wow.
So what was your experience like? Massive thank you to the gang from Rockstar who hooked us both up with the codage for the game.
Thank you, Rockstar.
So this is the first release from Rockstar, the only release from Rockstar since the last GTA, GTA 5. And this is since the last installment of Red Dead.
First
new
release.
The first new release.
Yeah, because they did... Yeah. The
LA Noir, is right, yeah. I didn't count that because, you know, that was the re-release thing. Mm-hmm. And since the last Red Redemption game, it's been 8 years.
Really?
8 years, yeah. So this is the third game in the Red Redemption franchise. There was Red Dead, Red Dead Redemption, and Red Dead Redemption 2.
Okay.
And also, shout out to Scroobius Pitt, recent guest on the show. He said Red Dead... Did you see his tweet?
I don't know. Why am I laughing already?
He said Red Dead Redemption is how he says Red Redemption with a star. He said he's out there pushing star comedy. shout out to him for that, man. Good sport. But Red Dead's this is the first title that's come out in that franchise for 8 years.
Yeah.
And a bit of background fun, this is the first game on this generation of console that they've broken it down and built from the ground up again. So they've not just slapped the new skins on top of the last GTA.
Yeah, yeah.
Structure, they've built it all up again,
which is probably why it took 8 years.
You know what, they don't fuck around, Rockstar. So
no, of course.
So long story short, if you've been living under a rock, you will not have heard about this game, but I'm presuming that you have, right?
If you've been living under a Rockstar,
but this is like a massive media media output.
Yeah.
And we'll get into the numbers in a bit in a sec, but how was the experience? You got the code, the download. Like, have you? I've got reasonably fast internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it did. I just left it overnight. I'm not saying it did take overnight, but it was a big hefty download.
Yeah.
How about for you?
I grew a beard in that time. Not joking. No, but it is. I had to do some. Rejigging. You know, you go to IKEA, you get a bed, and you haven't done the measurements properly, and some of your wardrobe...
Some's got to go.
Yeah, some of your furniture's got to go.
So you're looking at your games on your PS, you're thinking, fuck.
Yeah.
What had to go?
Because
you got to start thinking, but if the guy's around, that's the one that we play.
Let me tell you something, my finger was hovering over FIFA.
What?
Yeah. My finger was hovering over FIFA. I was just like... Don't really play it that much anymore. And you know when you're justifying in your head. There's no one else in the room, but you're hearing voices. And you're like, okay, do I need to play it now? Maybe I can re-download it later day. And I know that it's not going to be the case, because once Red Dead Redemption is on there, it's going to take up so much space. Unless that comes off, nothing else ain't going in there till you finish it.
100 gig, unless you get that bad boy hard drive.
Yeah.
All right. So did FIFA live?
Yeah, FIFA lived. Final Fantasy 15 didn't.
Really?
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, Final Fantasy 15 didn't. What else?
LA Noir came off this drive, came off the PS quick in here.
No, I've kept that.
Really?
Yeah. Because I haven't finished it yet.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. What else? That Tom Clancy game.
Which one? Division?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That went.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So that must have cleared around enough space.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And then you slapped on Red Dead.
Yep.
Now, some of the people listening, you the listener, you may only know of the last GTA. It may have been your first game that you played from that universe. It's feasible 5 years ago. Or you may have played GTA and Red Redemption beforehand, Red Redemption 2 beforehand, but it's been so long that you might not be ready for this style of gameplay.
You're not ready.
Like, for me, Frank, like, the first thing that stood out to me is that this is not GTA.
No.
Yeah, it's not GTA.
Yeah.
The only thing that makes it GTA to me is the maps.
Yeah,
I feel like I just recognize the map's very familiar.
Yeah.
But
I'm not an average GTA player like yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was the only aspect I felt like. The size of it.
Yeah.
You felt like that was the only thing relatable to GTA.
Magnanimous is the size of the map.
Yeah.
And also because you're negotiating it via horse, you're not exactly in a scenario where you are able to like drive at 100 miles an hour across roads. So you're like on a horse, which, you know, you can't kind of spank, otherwise it will die quite literally. But yeah, what was your experience like in the game though? So you hopped into the game.
Yeah.
What do you think it was like?
So I hopped into the game. Obviously you start off with this character, Arthur Morgan, and is a bit unassuming. You don't know too much about his background and whatnot, and he's part of this traveling band, mm-hmm. group of people from various walks of life, and they've all come together. I think it seems like they've been run out of their situation. Something's happened, and obviously I'm only in the early parts of it. I'm like 0.004% complete. What I found really fascinating is just on the levels, or on a micro level, how huge and how much detail there is. So for instance, I think in the early part of the game, when you complete a mission and you return back to your camp, everyone within the camp, you can interact with, and they have a name.
Yeah.
So there isn't this thing of there are important characters, which obviously going to come up later in the game, which they've given the name, and there's obviously some fringe characters that just walk around in the background, and like they might say, hey, if you bump into them.
Yeah.
It's not like some of the, I don't know, some of the scenery members within a game like Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone here is, you can interact with. Like, and not just interact with, there's ways of interaction. So you can be friendly with them or you can intimidate them. And I found that in itself was brilliant, the way they've linked that aspect of how you're perceived in the wider world can help your movement and your progress throughout the game. And I think they call it an honorable setting.
Yes. Yeah. So the things you do within the game, and Funk and I are trying our best not to give you spoilers, but your actions have direct consequences. Mm-hmm. Some are immediate.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you walk past someone and take out your gun and mess around, they might think that someone might see that happen. A little altercation might occur. You might say, ha ha, shoot everyone. But if somebody sees you and that's witnessed, you in that area now have a bounty on your head.
Listen, Marcus, I don't play, man. Look at my eyes. I'm dead serious. Look at my eyes, man. I'm dead serious. Like, I've been Machiavellian already.
Really?
Yeah. I thought to myself, do you know what? I'm Arthur Morgan, man. I'm Arthur Morgan, bitch.
King Kong ain't got shit on me.
Yeah, listen. I had to let people know from that ranch to that ranch across the whole state. Yeah, I run things here. So every now and again, I might buy some canned peaches.
Yeah,
or get some offal. I
think some offal. Yeah, some salted offal.
Some salted offal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I might get that for the camp. And other times, I might have to slap someone. Hey, would you don't touch my horse. Is that your horse?
That's my horse now.
My horse, man.
Hey, that's a nice horse.
Is that my name on that saddle? Get your ass off of there, man.
Oh, you know, I believe I'd be the same, you know, like helping out in a camp, is one thing. Like, what, like 5 minutes away from helping somebody in the camp move some oats around or something and then slapping someone else. Is a feeling. So you're kind of riding with the character that is like you said, you know, he's got a good heart.
Yeah.
But sometimes he just does bad things.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice. What do you think of the gameplay in general? Like, so, you know, I feel for me personally, and I like this, it's slower.
Yeah.
Like, you can't forcibly rush this game.
No,
there's no.
No
quick way around it. You can't go in and just hack it. Well, you probably could hack it if you wanted to in the future, but you can't just go in and just be like, right, that's it, I'm doing all the missions. I feel like you kind of have to get involved in different parts of the game to make it worth you.
I mean, it's a world in every sense. Mm. Like, it's like the choices and the decisions you make is like it's infinitesimal. Like, you may not save that person. You may be a bit slow in, I don't know, rescuing someone's horse or helping them that's kind of fallen by the wayside. You might pass someone that you should have helped, and all these things are gonna they may pay dividends or they may not. So you have to kind of be a little bit more careful in your decision making to fully enjoy the game. You can't just be like, okay, well, there's a group of people, I'm just gonna shoot them all up and then onto the next stage. It doesn't progress like that.
Yeah.
It progresses in a very it meanders.
Yeah. Kind
of. So,
and if you do play the game like that, you're gonna have a bad time.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Everybody will hate you.
Yeah.
Everybody will hate you.
But I mean, in saying that, I guess the makers, Rockstar, must have an awareness of people who play GTA just so that they can get chased by the police. They just look at it. Yeah, I'm gonna call some. I'm gonna slap someone and
I'm gonna shoot someone's horse so they fall off it.
Get 5-star rating and see how how long I can get outrun before a bear kills me.
Hey, those bears don't fuck around.
Yeah,
I tried it with a bear, you know.
Seriously?
Didn't go down well, bro. My horse bolted and
I
fell off.
Do you know why, yeah? Because I only had a bow and arrow. I was like, no. Let me come back.
Yeah, you come back with some weaponry.
I need that stick of dynamite.
Definitely. What's one tip that you'd give somebody playing Red Dead Redemption?
Oh, listen, just take your time.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have kids, lock them in the cellar. Don't do that. But just have complete silence, because you have to appreciate the time and effort that Rockstar developers have put into the game. The storylines in these games are insane. Like, they are mini movies. That's why they're outstripping Hollywood in terms of the money that they're making, the bank that they're making.
Yeah, like, man. Let's get the numbers, man.
You are entertained on numerous levels, not just through the gameplay, but for the fact that you are... you feel part and parcel with the characters involved.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the depth is amazing. And it's not just characters, the animals react to you in a specific way. There's temperature, there's climate, there's all those sorts of things. So
even
you can go...
Like you just mentioned, the animals, the compendium in there where you can study and learn about the flora and fauna, and that helps you, again, make decisions as to what kind of livestock you should bring back to camp.
Exactly.
I mean, who's doing that these days? I mean, if I was a game developer now, I would probably be very, very naive as to what you would involve in the game to make it entertaining. But now, the gamer is so sophisticated, it's forced the developer to have to kind of heap on this level of content. Otherwise, people become disengaged.
Exactly. I mean, and do you think that Rockstar have pulled it out of the bag on this one? Do you think they've done their job?
Rockstar kind of have this thing about them anyway, where they're like the Barcelona of game developers. I think there was a time famously where you said that there was a game coming out. I think it might have been the GTA.
Yeah.
And they didn't even turn up to promote it.
Oh yeah, it was Eurogamer 2013.
Yeah.
They were not there.
Yeah.
No,
they don't have to.
No stand.
They don't have to.
And the game, to put that in perspective, Funk, remember when I came back from E3 or just before I went, in the summer 2018, that game was number 7 in the game charts. In the UK game, 5 years after it dropped. Yeah. And that was GTA. Yeah. So this is insane. And this game here is some of the numbers. Biggest opening weekend across all entertainment releases.
What? All of them?
Yeah. Second biggest launch within 3 days in retail, sell through across all entertainment releases. That was only beaten by their last title. Biggest entertainment launch of 2018. Most pre-ordered game ever on the PlayStation Network. Biggest day one full game sales on the PlayStation Network. Biggest first 3 days full game sales ever on the PlayStation Network.
I'm gonna call it now though. What's the date today? It's the 6th of November, day after my birthday. This game is going to break GTA 5's record.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. 100%. But to be fair, they've given us so much in it. Like, I feel like, what other entertainment package can you purchase and get more value from? Netflix?
I'm going to go a step further. It's going to beat it in a fraction of the time it took GTA 5 as well. I think that.
I wouldn't be surprised that if by Christmas the numbers that it does are insane. But yeah, anyway, that was it. Red Dead Redemption, where in America in 1899, the Wild West era has begun and lawmen hunt down the last remaining outlaw gangs. Like Funk said, you play Arthur Morgan and his Vandalin gang are forced to flee. And where we start off the game, like you said, Funk, is kind of we're on a cold mountain and we've got to work our way back into the game. Times are changing, but if you're Funk's Arthur Morgan, you ain't afraid to slap someone in the face. Ain't afraid to slap someone. I mean, my word of advice is be like Funk, be nice, but also don't be afraid to...
You've got to keep people in line, man.
Bruv, it's a computer game, man. Keep whip out the Deadeye. Oh, that is sick as well. They've kept that, haven't they? So you can like do some super sharp shooting. That's dope, man. Yeah, shit. The fighting's sick in this game. Fist fighting is amazing. The gun fighting's amazing as well, especially with the fact that you're not like, you haven't got like semi-automatic an AK-47 and rocket launches and stuff like that. Sick.
But level of realism in terms of the way your stamina is affected, the stamina of your horse, the stamina of your horse is affected. Certain tonics,
your bond with your horse.
Oh,
it's crazy, man. It's just insane. And also cinematic mode as well. When you're doing cutscenes, when you're just traveling to an area, like from one mission to another, you can hold down on the PlayStation, the big touchpad, I don't know what it is on the Xbox, but I presume it'll be a button in the similar place. And the actual gameplay converts immediately into a cutscene where you just hold X, right? Your character follows where they need to go and you just get to enjoy the beautiful landscape.
So it uses all the cinematic shots, like different perspectives, like these close-up, might use, might pan out, and it does that automatically.
You choose your own cutscene. Yeah.
So I guess what they've done is to try and kind of get rid of the kind of the boring nature of maybe traveling to one point to another.
Yeah.
They've kind of put this aspect into
it. Exactly. Also, update your camp until you can get fast travel as well. If you don't know how to do it, we'll put a link on How to Kill an Hour's website because that speeds up shit tremendously as well. But we've got to wrap this episode now, but I've got to give this a 10 out of 10, a 5 out of 5, an 11 out of 11, 100%. The game is intense. And I believe I'm only 7% into the game.
Yeah.
7% in. This is probably one of the best, I can't even say this, the best games I've played with large maps since Zelda. Zelda was amazing. Zelda was great. Since Zelda, I don't think I've been in an immersive world that I've enjoyed I've enjoyed traveling across.
To be fair, Zelda is the only game you could be mentioning in terms of Red Dead Redemption 2. There's no other game title that is even punching near it.
And Zelda was amazing. Yeah. I'm not taking anything away from Zelda, but I think Red Dead is just ready to deliver. And can I just say, Rockstar, I'm not stupid, you know. I see what you did with your releasing of the game right at the end of the PlayStation 4's career, right? Just like you did with GTA 5 right at the end of the PlayStation 3's career. That's going to double up game sales because on the next-gen consoles, I'd buy again.
Yeah.
Why would I not buy again?
Yeah.
Sick. Clever. Anyway, we've got to get out of here. I've been Marcus Bronzy.
I've been Funk Butcher.
Plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time with us.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.